Hello, Divorce and Beyond family. I've got some exciting news because we have teamed up with Headspace to guide you toward better mental health. With Headspace's meditation, mindfulness tools, and mental health support, you're set for a journey to a happier, healthier you. And there's more because if you sign up through our exclusive link, you'll enjoy 2 weeks of Headspace membership for free. So don't miss out on this opportunity to embrace your well-being. You can check out the show notes for the link or just go to divorcebeyond.com/headspace-Susan and you'll be able to start your path to peace and joy today. This is just one more way that we can support you on your journey to a better beyond.
Coming up on today's episode of the Divorce and Beyond podcast.
This is what I want to give my son. I want to give him just a really positive experience despite having two homes. I think he still can have a really loving and good experience from both of us. Just because we're in two homes doesn't mean he can't have that.
Hello and welcome to the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. As a top divorce attorney and family law mediator for 30 years, I know what you need to know to get through your divorce and, most importantly, how to move beyond it to thrive and transition to your new future. My experts and I are here to give you the insider view into the process, so listen in for the wisdom and expert information you need on your journey through divorce and beyond. Hello and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host, and listeners, welcome back. I am very excited to have a brand new guest with me today, and I think that she has both a story and an innovative new tool to help you support your children through the divorce process that's really going to resonate with a lot of you. Because one thing that we know is that for so many parents going through divorce, your number one concern is supporting your children and making sure that, you know, the divorce has the least negative impact possible. And Fiona Kong, who is joining me today, is a mompreneur. I love the term that she has. She's a mompreneur. I support all moms and entrepreneurs, so I am a huge mompreneur supporter. And she has found a way to turn some adversity in her life into an opportunity, I would say, both for her, for her son, for her co-parent, and for you all. So first, let me just say, Fiona, thank you for joining me. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for sharing with my listeners today.
Susan, it's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You and I spoke about this about a week ago before we were taping this episode today. And you have created something called the Home Sweet Homes Journal. And I love it. I just love it. The minute I heard about it and then actually saw the journal, and in fact, you showed me when we were talking about it, pages from your own son's journal, which is so enchanting and so delightful. You've really turned it into, I mean, something I imagine your son is going to look back on in years to come and with his own children and just, you know, be so delighted that he has this. And in so many ways, I think that this is something that not just divorcing parents and co-parents should be aware of, but all parents. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. But, you know, I wonder if you could share your journey, because this is creating something like this is not your, you know, former career path or anything. So how did this come to be?
I call it a happy accident that I totally fell into. I guess things started in 2019. It was the year that my son's dad and I decided to split up. That same year, I got laid off from my corporate job. And then the following year, the pandemic hit. So it was like a triple like whammy in my life that really forced me to work. We were all in the pandemic and we were all at home and I wasn't working. So it just was this time of reflection about my life and how did I get to where I was, you know, including separating and how did I want to show up in my life in the future, right? I think a lot of us had this like existential, like not crisis, but just reflection on what are we doing and how do we want our life to be? And that a big part of that, of course, was how I parented my son, because he was just so young when we split up. He was 2.5. And I just was like, wow, this is something I've never tackled before. And how can I help him? So that's how it really got started.
And you got so creative and, you know, sort of came up with this idea of a journal. And I think that may not seem intuitive to come up with a journal, because as you just mentioned, your son was 2.5 at the time, right? Very young, little. For many parents, you know, there's sort of a perception that either at that age or when they're that young, they don't really understand what's going on, or they don't really have a lot of communication at that point in time. They're not fully communicative. So how did the journal idea come about as a way to support your son and help you parent him?
So the first thing I did was just look online for resources of just anything to help children, because for parents, you know, there's apps, there's books, you know, you can go to therapy, but for a young child that is experiencing this, like there wasn't really anything out there. I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy, but what would that look like? And, you know, I wasn't looking to start a business, and I was at a dollar store one day and I saw this little planner. It was like a mini planner. It was super cute. And I thought like, oh, well, my son at the time, he was asking me like, which house would I be at? Like every single week he would ask me. And because we were on a 2-2-3 schedule, so the same days are not consistent. And that was very difficult for him to wrap his head around. And he shouldn't be responsible for that. You know, I was like, I need to make it easier for him. So I had a calendar at my house, but my dad did not. So I was like, okay, what if I buy this and use it as his book that he takes with him and he can reference it? And it had this little space each day where like a little block of space. And at the same time, at, you know, age 3, he's going through so many milestones, trying new foods, we're potty training, just, you know, doing new things in his life that I felt so sad that I didn't know, that I missed out on. It's not like we're in constant contact with my co-parent every week, like, oh God, he did this and nothing like that. So I was like, what if I write in just a little snippet of his day, just things that my co-parent might need to know, you know, how he's doing with potty training, and, you know, just start there, a little bit of information. The first time I got it back and I got to read about, like, we were potty training at the time. A lot of our first entries were like how he was doing potty training and sleeping, you know, if he slept through the night. It seems trivial, but it was like stuff as a parent. You're like, I would like to know this, right? Like,
yeah. So, and you would know it if you were still living in the same home or have more open communication perhaps about it. I love that it opened up an easier form of communication between the two of you as co-parents, right?
Right. Without having to be texting or, you know, like we still did, but at least it was an unobtrusive way of communicating, but still getting information. Ended up being this diary of his life. And, you know, I was like, how about we put, as we went on, I was like, how about we put stickers in here when he does something like great? Because a lot of, you know, my childhood, which I later, you know, reflected on, was like, I had a really tough childhood. You know, my parents weren't loving, outwardly loving. It was really tough emotionally. This is what I want to give my son. I want to give him just a really positive experience, despite having two homes. I think he still can have a really loving and good experience from both of us. Just because we're in two homes doesn't mean he can't have that.
No. Well, and think about this, right? That the thing that really struck me about the way that this opened up, you know, this tiny information, I'll call it, or the things that perhaps get lost in translation between two homes, but it opened up a way to communicate that between you and your co-parent, but that trickles down. You know, as you said, you were grateful to get that information. I assume your son's father was grateful to have the information that you were sharing with him. And that trickles down to additional communication about your son and what's happening for him in his day so that you're both more capable of supporting him in all ways, whether it was a good day that he had or maybe you know, something was upsetting to him, but the other parent would now be aware of that. And it's also done in a way that's unobtrusive. I hear from co-parents so often that when they feel they have to report to their co-parent, or the co-parent is constantly questioning them about what's going on in their household, they feel monitored. Whereas this is a very simple way to share the information, and it's very child-centered. It's not, I want to know what's going, what are you doing with my child in your home, which is how some people sort of feel about that reporting aspect. But this is done in such a lovely way.
That is such a key distinction, like that word reporting, because I don't feel that at all. Someone told me, was like, this feels like a fun group project because we're doing this together. My son, like, he's 7 now, and we journal together at night, and it's open, right? The intent is that this is a shared family journal, that everything we write in here, everyone will read. And that's not to say, like, if he wants a private journal, he can have that. And we fully support that, will not read it. But for all intents and purposes here, we want to bring our families, still have a little cohesiveness in, you know, so that it lives together in here. He has his dad's handwriting and my handwriting. And even if he goes to like a family friend, you know, like family or like a teacher, like we have everyone contribute, because I look at it as just a really loving way to like craft their story of his life. It's more like a memory book at this point. Yeah, the framing of like, yeah, this is not reporting. This is just coming together to support you in a really special way.
Well, it's beautiful, really. If you think about that, one of the things that we know is difficult for children, especially older children, I will say, who have had more of an experience of perhaps their parents in the same household and then have to navigate two separate households, but even younger children as well who don't remember, who were too young maybe to remember two parents together. There's this experience for many children that they report of feeling like their family history or their family was erased by the divorce, or it was, they don't have that family sense going forward. They have two separate family sense going forward. Yet what you're really creating is that shared narrative of your son's life between his two homes. And I mean, there's truly something beautiful about that for him. But what I'm also hearing is that it's beautiful for you and your and his father.
We actually talked about it because I was kind of surprised that he was so willing, and it comes filled out every single time. Every time. And not that I would press him, like if he didn't do it, like I can't force him.
That goes back to the reporting aspect, right?
Yeah. And I asked him this past year, I was like, actually, like, do you still want to continue doing it? Because I don't want it to feel like homework. Like I'm not his, like he's in charge of his own self. And he said, yes. He was like, it was like a no question thing. And I think I've seen the evolution of the way we write. Because at first, you know, when my son was so young, it was kind of like, for lack of a better word, reporting just what he did and his activities. But now that my son's older, we write like encouraging things to him. Like sometimes, like it came back the other week and his dad wrote, like, something happened and he was like, I'm so proud of you. I love you.
Right.
It really, I was like, oh my God. I think it's tone change because he sees me doing that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that's great. I don't care what made you do it. Write it. For my son to one day see those words and to feel it and to know that, right? He's so supported and loved. Like there's no bad thing that could come from this. And I think it's surprising, like a lot of dads, you know, do take the initiative to buy the book. It's, you know, yeah. So it's not like a mom thing, but it's great to see a lot of dads like really willing and excited to participate as well.
Well, and that's a really good point because, you know, one of the things that unfortunately societally, although hopefully this is changing, but men are not societally like raised to be super communicative, especially in this sort of way. You know, yes, one, it's wonderful that dads are reaching out, men are reaching out, wanting to find a way to maybe support them in being able to communicate not only with their child or children, but their co-parent. But also, as you just pointed out, it affects both of your communication as well, even though you're speaking to your son in the journal, you're both seeing what the other is saying. And so you're modeling for each other and for your son as he goes forward mm-hmm. in his life journey. That's why I said, you know, this is a book that I can only imagine your son will sit down when he has little children and show something like this to them. And you'll be the proud grandma and grandpa over on the couch or whatever. But right, this is actually something that, you know, your son may not remember every little aspect of this, but I'm sure that he's going to remember growing up surrounded by love. And when he sees these journals, when he's older or has them to reference, it's just a wonderful journey that your whole family is going on together. And when I say family, I do mean, you know, a family unit. That's what it's creating for you, it sounds like.
Yeah. We're still always his family, no matter what. And you know, even if I didn't do this for a business, I'm so glad I made it for us. That's how I know it's the right thing to do. Every day I look at it and I'm just like, oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait for him to get these when he's older. There's a little section on each day of the journal. So the way it's set up is like the first section is all about me. So there's their favorite things, like they can put their handprint, draw their self-portrait. They can, you know, track progress. And then each month, so it's a yearly undated planner, and each month starts off with an affirmation. So I am loved, I can do hard things, I believe in myself. And these were the things that I never heard as a child, that if I were going to go back in time, what would I, if I wanted my parents to tell me, right? Because these are still the things that you need right now in life.
Yeah. As grown-ups, these are some life skills, folks.
Yeah, whether you're 15, 30, 50, you will still need to hear these things. So for like the I am loved affirmation, there's a child activity and there's a parent activity, and it mirrors each other. So the child would say like, I love myself because, and the parents write, we love you because. So it's a cute little activity together that has a monthly calendar and then weekly spreads where they have space to journal. And then for the co-parenting version, they have like today I am with, and you write in your schedule, because as I said, like this was a really tough thing for my son to grasp. And the scheduling is, I feel like can feel out of control. Like it makes them feel less in control of their life, right? If they don't know what's happening. Yeah. So every week we write in if he's going to be at mom's house, dad's house. So we just do M mom, and then M mom/dad or whatever.
Right, because it's a transition day, right? Yeah.
And then there's five faces where they circle one or all of them. And this is by far the most transformational activity in the journal, because getting kids, especially little boys, to talk about their feelings and recognize their emotions and have that awareness, it is something I feel like I didn't learn till I was, you know, after my separation, where I was like, whoa, you know, I didn't ever talk about it. It was all bottled up, and it ends up impacting your relationships, right?
Your whole life.
That's just one of the things that I feel is so invaluable, that you, whether you do it, like we don't do it every day. Let's be realistic. Like we don't have time to journal every day, but
progress, not perfection, right?
Yeah. You do it a couple times and you still have had that opportunity to let it out. You feel safe to talk about it with your child, and you're giving your kid the opportunity to express themselves. And just all of this leads into me not getting that as a kid. And it was channeled into this journal. And that's really how it came about.
Hey, Divorce and Beyond listeners. I've got a quick but exciting update for you. I'm so excited to say that the podcast is now available on Audible. Yes, where you listen to all your ebooks, you can now also listen to your Divorce and Beyond episodes. And to celebrate, we've got a special offer for you. You get 1 month free of Audible Plus. So to take advantage of that, just go to the show notes. Or even better, we have on the website an entire page of books that were written by all our many experts. You can go to the divorceandbeyondpod.com website, go to Beyond Reading, and you're going to find all the books that have been written by our experts. Books like Christina McGee's Parenting Apart and Bill Eddy's Biff and Splitting. So whatever the book is, go find it there, download Audible, and we know that sometimes you don't want a hard copy book on display for everyone to see. So whether it's for privacy or convenience, you can listen to the books and the podcasts all in one place on Audible. So take advantage of this fantastic offer. Keep your journey of learning and empowerment going privately and conveniently. Go to divorceandbeyondpod.com and go to Beyond Reading. Stay tuned for more from Fiona Kong as we delve deeper into how Home Sweet Homes is transforming the co-parenting experience and discover the journey of creating a journal that's changing lives one family at a time.
You know, keep it between you two because it still could be, it's probably better this way if you have an adversarial, like high conflict co-parent that they're not involved at this point, right? Like, and you can still have a really beautiful, big experience and make beautiful memories in a journal just between you two. You don't need the other parent.
If you are finding this episode helpful, be sure to check out last week's special episode with trauma coach Carly Holden for a deeply personal and insightful discussion of uncovering, exploring, and healing the trauma bonds that shape us.
Whatever somebody's going through in their relationship, their divorce, their pain, their whatever it is, somewhere we learned that or it wouldn't be happening.
And now we return to today's show.
They say we can reparent ourselves. Yeah. And in some ways, in parenting your son in the way that you are likely, and in creating this journal, you're likely accomplishing some of that. Because really what you're talking about with the five faces that you're talking about progress from a smiley face all the way down to a frowny face, right? As a way for a child to identify what they are. And really what you've done is you've built in emotional intelligence tools. Right? Understanding our emotional intelligence. For anyone who doesn't know emotional intelligence, it's much more about us being able to identify and manage our own emotions than it is. Everybody thinks emotional intelligence is about identifying and being able to control other people's emotions. And it's not. It's about our own. But here you are working with a 2.5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, and you're when you even do as simple an exercise as the smiley face to frowny face exercise, you're teaching him to tune into his own emotional content and be able to discuss it. So I can see why that would be so incredibly transformational, as you said, but so simple. And the tools are all, you've built them all in so beautifully. And I bet your son likes doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Like when we sit down, like sometimes he's ready. He just is like, he knows what faces he's circling and like he just talks. And this was a progression. This is not, you don't start like that. And everyone needs to start somewhere. And that's why the faces are such a non-intimidating way to get kids to talk, because they don't know how to talk about it. Everyone can point, circle to a face, circle a face, right? Simple, simple. And from there, it's like you grow and you start having the vocabulary to talk about it. As I said, like I'm growing with him. You know, like, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but we didn't grow up talking about feelings and, you know, validating emotions and, right? All the things that are happening these days, which is great. But as you said, reparenting.
Reparenting. Don't we all need it? You know, our parents, I'm much older than you are, but, you know, frankly, one of the things that has occurred to me the older I get is, you know, my parents may not have been perfect, but they weren't parented in a way, right? Mm-hmm. They were perpetuating what they learned. And, you know, the other thing for changing future generations and raising more secure children and emotionally intelligent children is that we change what we do. And that's exactly the experience that you are talking about here. Not only is this a support for your son, but what it's really doing is it's creating a support for you as well. So right now, that generational change is happening through something so simple as a journal, right? Yeah. Who would think that this was, it seems such a big thing for such a humble project.
Thank you. Yeah, you really nailed it and you get it. And I'm so like grateful that you see the value of this and how it really can change generations down the line. Like I hope that, you know, as you said, like my parents were a product of generational trauma. Like that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and unless you do something and consciously try to change it, it's probably won't change.
Probably where your poor child, right? Our children will end up now. And it's, you know, that's one of the reasons why when I spoke to you, I got so excited about what you're doing. I, you know, my listeners know I don't usually do episodes that are so focused on something that's for sale, right? Like, because I'm not doing advertisements. That's not how I do this. But whether there's so much that we're talking about here, I will say, I personally think the journal is well worth the cost. And, you know, you have done all the work here, pulled it together, and it's just a beautiful thing. But what we're talking about, these concepts and ideas that we're talking about, are things that all parents can learn from as they are learning and following a co-parenting journey, as they are parenting a child who's being co-parented. There's just so much in here that are all the little tiny nuances that you have pulled together so beautifully in your journey. And I think that that's important for them to hear. And so that's why I'm talking so much about the journal, because the journal has been, I think, for you, and I think for others, the gift that keeps on giving. Right? It's a fun little activity, perhaps at its very lowest level, but at a very high level, it's a transformational experience.
Oh, thank you. I love all that you said.
We'll take that and make it marketing copy. But I wanted to point that out to people because, you know, ultimately I would say to them, and we're going to talk about this, you even have a wonderful promotional offer for people where they can get a discount and a free gift. And we'll talk about that at the end. But I really want them to listen to the deeper concepts that we're talking about here. And one that I don't want to miss talking about, because I know you've heard it, I know I've heard it, and I know listeners are out there saying that. Well, great for Fiona. She has this uber cooperative co-parent. He sounds like, you know, this mythological creature, this unicorn co-parent, but mine is not that. Mine won't do this. Mine this, mine that. You know, we're going to hear that from people. And it's true. There are people out there who have co-parents who are not, who are going to see this as intrusive, or going to see this as a way to follow what's happening in their household, or who just couldn't care less about this type of activity. So what would you say the benefits are to one parent engaging in this activity with their child? It doesn't go back and forth between homes.
Yes, this is very common. The spying, the, you know, you try to control me, and I've heard it all. Like
parents
that would
have.
throw it away, right? They like really would throw it away. To have one parent on your side that is willing to do the work with you, right? It's better than two that are not. To have the conversations, to spend quality time, to tell you good things, to write nice things about you, to ask about your emotions, to help you with your schedule. What if you had nobody doing this?
Which is what so many of us had, right? This wasn't, as you said, the conversations that we had.
Hey, to be left alone with all of that, I think it's such a huge thing to carry that children should not be responsible to carry. The Home Sweet Homes is for co-parented kids, for co-parents that will cooperate, because it goes back and forth between homes. It talks about two homes. It has a schedule between two homes. And kids that have one uncooperative parent but can write for themselves, like can still use it and take it back and forth. Otherwise, I'd advise parents that want to participate, if the child is not old enough to write, keep the journal at your house when your kid goes to the other home. And what I do is, like, I write in like a little inspirational note. I write about my life, like, just, you know, keep it between you two, because it still could be, it's probably better this way if you have an adversarial, like high conflict co-parent that they're not involved at this point, right? Like, and you can still have a really beautiful big experience and make beautiful memories in a journal just between you two. You don't need the other parent.
If your co-parent does not want to participate in an activity like this, or you don't want to approach them with the activity, I still see so much value, because it's not, as you just said, right? It's not just an exercise for the child. It is an exercise for you as a parent as well. And it opens lines of communication with your child in such a simple way. So especially if you're dealing with younger children, but I do want to point out, this isn't just for, you know, 2, 3, 4 year olds. This is for children of all ages and parents of all ages and stages too, right? We all can learn. It could be helpful for step parents. My listeners know that I am a stepmom. Something like this could have been really, you know, really interesting. And you know, it's especially difficult sometimes for step parents to be able to talk with kids about their feelings and what they're feeling about the co-parenting with a step involved, right? With a bonus parent involved. And I can just imagine that it might have been something that would have been helpful for us as well. I think you can make it work for whatever your family configuration is.
Absolutely. It's so funny. I just received a note last night from someone who ordered 3 journals. And I think one child is a stepchild, and they find time, who lives far away. They find time over the phone to journal together. I was like, wow, I've never heard of that. But I was like, you make it work for you. Like, it doesn't matter right now with the schedule for us. Is, you know, my son is with his dad Monday through Wednesday. I have him Thursday through Friday. And the days that I have him are so hectic because he goes to school like an hour away. Like, it is insane. Like, we don't have time to journal that night. So on Thursdays, like the entry, like we don't do anything, but then we'll come back on Friday and we'll do like a gratitude, like just gratitude. And then one entry each week is like, I write a note. I write either like, I find like an inspirational quote or poem or just something like life wisdom that I want to leave him, right? Because I think about him having this long after I'm gone. And so I just, there's so many good, great quotes and, you know, things that I'd want him to know. And I'll write that in there. So these are like great. There's so many workarounds if you can't do it every day. And realistically, most of us can't. It's not going to happen. And that's okay. You can draw a photo, like you can draw a picture, put in a photo. Like there's endless possibilities. It's a blank journal. Like,
yeah. Right? You can do make it what works for you and support your child. And in fact, you have a new post. You have become a TikTok phenom, and you have posted. Well, let's. I want to make sure we talk about this so people know right now that you have been on TikTok. You show like some of the pages from your son's journal, you know, what it actually looks like. And I encourage people to go look at your TikTok account, because it's actually, you know, we can talk about this, but the visual of what it has turned into for your son really says more in just looking at a you know, the pages than we could talk about in an entire episode. So, and TikTok has recognized you and the impact that you're making. So tell everybody about that so they can go and check it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a phenom, but
I'm saying it.
I don't even have like a huge following, and that's okay, but that's not the goal here. Like, I just want to reach parents that are caring, that want the best relationship with their child. So what happened was, like, I've had a couple viral videos. The most recent one was, I don't know if you heard, like the Elmo checking in with the world.
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
I did, because it was on the news and somebody was like, I'm going to quote Elmo now.
But that that simple audio where it's like Elmo checking it, like I use that on one of my videos because with the faces, right? I had my son circling the faces. Some days were happy, some days he was mad. Like, and it just showed like there were so many emotions, and this is totally normal. And that one went viral, and I sold out of my co-parenting books. TikTok recently reached out to me and they asked me if I'd participate in their Women's History Month campaign and they would like spotlight me and like give me more visibility on their platform. And I was like, wow, this is really incredible that it's hard to get your message out there. It really is, just, you know, doing this as a single mom and always trying to think of something creative and, you know, get your message out. It's not easy. I don't want to say I'm doing a great job. I don't feel like I am. I'm very, you know, blessed and honored to be doing something that people are, even like you, you know, we had our conversation and you'd never seen it before, but you get it. You are understanding what the bigger impact of this is. Yeah. Like doing this, it makes me like, I cry all the time because of so many good things happening and parents that are, it's affecting parents' lives. And I just, you know, that's the dream, right? To do something good in the world.
Really make, right. Like make an impact. And ultimately, you know, what the beauty of this is really that, yes, I think you're helping so many others. You've helped yourself. And most importantly, you've helped your son. You're creating a legacy for your child that, you know, truly is a gift to him. But it's a gift to your co-parent. It's a gift to you, you know, and that's what resonated with me. I've been a family law attorney for 30 plus years. I have been immersed in this world and seen so much negativity and difficulty for families. And to see such a simple tool that has such a vast potential for positive impact on everyone involved is just lights me up. It really just delights me and makes me happy. So I'm not surprised that TikTok is also behind you. I encourage everyone to go over. What's the handle on TikTok?
It's the same on TikTok and Instagram. I'm less active on Instagram, but it's Home Sweet Homes Journal.
Okay, so go check out Home Sweet Homes Journal, especially this month, where they're going to be featuring Fiona and the journal in the Women's History Month. And I'm super excited. I mentioned it earlier because you have a code where listeners can get a free gift with a journal purchase. So tell us a little bit more about that, how they can find the journal, get their copy, and find you and find more.
HomeSweetHomesJournal.com is my website. And for all your listeners, I'm so happy and like to honor like a special rate for the journal, like a flat rate, plus a free gift. I love sending out these free gifts because everything I make is so intentional as far as giving your child a really good experience. So it'll be a surprise. That code is DB Podcast.
I love that, DB Podcast. I don't usually encourage my listeners to, well, I do. I say, if I believe in something, I'm going to tell you guys. I believe in this. Honestly, I truly wish this had been there when I met my stepkids when they were 5. They're 26 now. And, you know, we have a great relationship. I love them dearly, but I just would have really loved to have had a tool like this for them, for me, for my husband, for their mother, for all of us. And I appreciate you and I appreciate your intention with this and all the effort that you're putting into it. I'm hopeful that this is going to help let people know a little bit more about this and encourage them because really this is a very hopeful story that you're sharing with everyone. This is the light at the end of what is a dark tunnel for so many parents. So I want them to see that and take hope and inspiration from your journey. So I very much appreciate all that you're doing and that you came here to speak with us about it, Fiona.
No, thank you, Susan. Thank you kindly from the bottom of my heart. It means so much to me, just this conversation and, you know, your advocacy for what I do.
Well, and I'll be continuing to talk about it, everyone, but you can find all of the information in the show notes. So, or go to homesweethomesjournal.com. You can also find the information there. Don't forget the DB podcast code so you get your free gift with purchase. And Fiona, thank you. We'll have to have you come back on and tell us a little bit more about the journal, because there is a second journal. Let me just finally say this. There is a second journal for children, for all families, that not necessarily just two home families. So we'll talk about that in another episode. So thanks again so much, Fiona.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you for joining me today on the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I hope you found some information and inspiration to help you on this journey. Please join me every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a new episode. And if you like the show, please take the time to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find more information on the website at divorceandbeyondpod.com, where you'll find links to the YouTube channel, transcripts of the episodes, and other bonus content. So I'll see you next week to help you move through your divorce and beyond.